The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 18, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on March 18th, 2007, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So today, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 18. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Tarava king na jivanti, Bastra king na shvashantsudyuta,
Bastra king
na shvashantsudyuta, Nakadanti na mehanti, King Grame Parshavopare. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Do not the trees live? Do the bellows of a blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Purport. The materialistic man of the modern age will argue that life, or part of life, is never meant for discussion of theosophical or theological arguments. Life is meant for the ultimate, is meant for the maximum duration of existence, for eating, drinking, sexual intercourse, making merry, and enjoying life. The modern man wants to live forever by the advancement of material science, and there are many foolish theories for prolonging life to the maximum duration. But the Srimad Bhagavatam affirms that life is not meant for so-called economic development or advancement of materialistic science for the hedonistic philosophy of eating, mating, drinking, and merry-making. Life is solely meant for tapasya, for purifying existence so that one may enter into eternal life just after the end of the human form of life. The materialists want to prolong life as much as possible because they have no information of the next life. They want to get the maximum comforts in this present life because they think conclusively that there is no life after death. This ignorance about the eternity of the living being and the change of covering in the material world has played havoc in the structure of modern human society. Consequently, there are many problems multiplied by various plans of modernized man. The plans for solving the problems of society have only aggravated the troubles. Even if it is possible to prolong life more than 100 years, advancement of human civilization does not necessarily follow. The Bhagavatam says that certain trees live for hundreds and thousands of years. At Vrindavan, there is a tamarind tree, the place is known as Imlitela, which is said to have existed since the time of Lord Krishna. Actually, this footnote here. I'm sad to report that tree has now left its body several years ago, but the remainder of the trunk is still there. When I first went to Vrindavan, that tree was thriving, but in recent years it has left the body. But it was at least 5,000-year-old tree. Associated with Krishna's Leela and with Lord Chaitanya's Leela. In the Calcutta Botanical Garden, there is a banyan tree said to be older than 500 years, and there are many such trees all over the world. Swami Shankaracharya lived only 32 years, and Lord Chaitanya lived 48 years. Does it mean that the prolonged lives of the above-mentioned trees are more important than Shankara or Chaitanya? Prolonged life without spiritual value is not very important. One may doubt that trees have life because they do not breathe. But modern scientists like Bose have actually proved that there is life in plants, so breathing is no sign of actual life. The Bhagavatam says that the bellows of the blacksmith breathes very soundly, but that does not mean that the bellows has life. The materialist will argue that life in the tree and life in the man cannot be compared, because the tree cannot enjoy life by eating palatable dishes or by enjoying sexual intercourse. In reply to this, the Bhagavatam asks whether other animals, like the dogs and hogs living in the same village with human beings, do not eat and enjoy sexual life. The specific utterance of Srimad Bhagavatam in regard to other animals means that persons who are simply engaged in planning a better type of animal life, consisting of eating, breathing, and mating, are also animals in the shape of human beings. A society of such polished animals cannot benefit suffering humanity, for an animal can easily harm another animal, but rarely do good. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gunanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun militam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Shtapitam yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. So, simply having the ability to breathe does not mean that you're actually living. Because the bellows also
breathe.
So life doesn't mean simply breathing. And simply living for a long time, that doesn't mean that you're actually living. Doesn't, in other words, being, these things don't mean human life. The bellows is not a human being, but it breathes. The tree lives for hundreds and thousands of years sometimes, but it is not human being. All around, the beasts are eating and they're having sex. But they are not human
beings.
So the point is, we cannot say that human life means to live a long time, to breathe and to eat and have sex.
С други думи, ние не можем да кажем, че човешкият живот означава човек да живее дълго, да се храни, да диша и да има секс.
That is not the meaning of human life.
Това не е смисъла на човешкия живот.
Human life means to engage the time and energy.
Човешкият живот означава да се ангажират времето и енергията.
In discussing theosophical or theological arguments.
В разнищване или дискутиране на философски и теологични аргументи.
What is the purpose of my existence?
Какъв е смисъл на моето съществуване?
Where have I come from?
Откъде съм дошъл?
What is my ultimate destiny?
Каква е моята крайно местоназначение?
How will I achieve it?
Как да го постигна?
What are the impediments that are making it difficult for me to achieve it?
Какви са препятствията, които ме затрудняват в постигането на моята цел?
How can I conquer over those impediments?
И как да преодолея тези препятствия?
This is what human life is meant for.
Ето това е предназначението на човешкия живот.
It's meant to inquire for the ultimate good.
Той е предназначен за запитвания за крайното добро.
Of course, some energy has to go into where will I eat, where will I sleep, where will I mate, where will I defend. Some energy has to go for them.
Разбира се, известна част от енергията трябва да се отдели за ядене, спане, съвкупляване и защита.
But the difficulty with the modern day society is we are putting all of our energy into these things.
Но проблема в днешното съвременно общество е, че ние влагаме цялата си енергия в тези неща.
There is no need to put all of our energy into these things.
Не е необходимо да се влага цялата енергия в тези неща.
Human life is meant to minimize the amount of energy we put into eating, sleeping, mating and defending.
Човешкият живот е предназначен тази енергия, която влагаме в тези четири неща, да се минимизира.
And to maximize the amount of energy we put into awakening the dormant identity of a living being.
И енергията, която да се максимизира, енергията, която се влага в това да се събудим истинската идентичност на живото същество.
That process of awakening the dormant identity of a living being.
Този процес на събуждане на спящата идентичност на живото същество.
Is called the science of self-realization.
Се нарича науката за себереализацията.
The perfection of the self-realization process.
Съвършенството на процеса на себереализация
is to awaken one's dormant loving relationship.
Е човек да се събуди своето спящи любовни взаимоотношения
with the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna.
С върховната божествена личност Кришна.
That's why of all the Puranas.
Ето защо във всички Пурани
the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important Purana.
От всичките Пурани, Srimad Bhagavatam е най-важното.
It is described as Amalam Puranam.
Тя е описана като Амала Пурана.
The spotless Purana.
Безупречно чистата Пурана.
Because the 18 Puranas, they are divided amongst the three modes of nature.
Защото 18-те Пурани, те са разделени на съответствие с трите гуни на материалната природа.
There are six Puranas that are Tamaguna Puranas.
Има шест Пурани, които са за Тамогуна.
There are six Puranas which are Rajagun Puranas.
Има шест Пурани, които са Раджагуна.
And there are six Puranas that are Сатвагун Puranas.
Има шест Пурани Сатвагуна.
But the cream of all the Puranas is the Mahapurana or the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Но каймакът на всички Пурани е тази Mahapurana или Srimad Bhagavatam.
Because in this Purana, it is clearly described how one can achieve the supreme perfection.
Защото в тази Пурана много ясно се обяснява как човек може да постигне най-висшето съвършенство.
One has to come beyond the modes of nature.
Човек трябва да се издигне над гуните на природата.
As long as one is still situated within the modes of material nature.
Докато човек остава под влиянието на гуните на природата,
there is no question of spiritual perfection.
Не е възможно да бъде постигнато духовно съвършенство.
Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita Krishna ясно казва.
Daivi hiyesha gunamayi mama maya dadatya mameva ye prapadyante mayam metam tanantite. This divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of material nature.
Тази моя божествена енергия, състояща се от трите гуни на материалната природа,
is very difficult to overcome.
Се преодолява много трудно.
But those who have surrendered unto me,
но тези, които са ми се отдали,
can easily cross beyond it.
Могат лесно да я прекусят.
So all we have to do is surrender to Krishna.
Така че всичко, което трябва да направим, е да се отдадем на Кришна.
The point is that to become a spiritually enlightened being, one has to become free from the influence of the modes of nature.
Но за да стане човек духовно просветлен, той трябва да се освободи от влиянието на гуните на природата.
That's why of all the Puranas we have to take to the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Ето защо от всички Пурани ние трябва да приемаме Шримад Бхагаватам.
Бхагават Пурана.
Бхагавата Пурана.
We take information from the other Puranas. That's all right.
Ние взимаме информация от другите Пурани. Това е добре.
If we have to see everything through the context of the Bhagavat Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Но ние трябва да гледаме на всичко от контекста на Srimad Bhagavatam.
Otherwise, we remain within the modes of nature.
иначе ще останем в лагуните на природата.
Unable to cross over the vast ocean of material existence.
И няма да сме способни да прекусим огромния океан на материалното съществуване.
Samasrutaye palapallava plavam mahat pudang punya jusho marare. What is that next line? Samashvataye palapallava plavam mahat pudang punya jusho marare. I'm forgetting the last, the third line. But the thing this is, that for those who have taken shelter of the boat of the lotus seat of the Lord,
за тези, които са приели под слона в лодката на лотосовите нозе на Бога,
who is famous, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation,
който е под слона на космическото съществуване,
and who is famous for killing the Mura demon,
и известен с това, че убил демона Мура,
this vast, insurmountable ocean of material existence,
този огромен, непреодолим океан на
becomes reduced down to the amount of water contained within the hoofprint of a calf.
Се смалява до размера на локвата вода, която се съдържа в отпечатъка от копитото на теле.
So, if one surrenders to Krishna,
и така, ако някой се отдаде на Кришна,
if one takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna,
и приеме под слон при лотосовите нозе на Кришна,
then that huge, insurmountable ocean,
тогава този огромен непреодолим океан,
which appeared impossible to conquer over,
който изглежда невъзможен да бъде преодолян,
becomes very easy to step over.
Става много лесно да бъде прескочен.
If you ever go walking after a rain in the cow pasture,
ако се разхождате след като е валяло по едно пасище, където пасат
крави, you will notice where the calves have made their calf hoofprint.
Може да видите къде теленцата са оставили своите отпечатъци.
And you will see there's a little water, about that much water then.
Може да видите, че там се задържа много малко вода.
And you will have no difficulty stepping over the water in the hoofprint of a calf.
Няма да имате никакъв проблем да прескочите тази.
So that whole in apparently insurmountable ocean of material existence,
така целият привидно непреодолим океан на материалното
съществуване, becomes totally insignificant.
Става съвсем незначителен.
For those who take shelter of the boat,
тези, които приемат
of Lord Shri Krishna's lotus feet,
на лотосовите нозе на Бог Шри Кришна.
All you have to do is get on the, just like there's a boat sailing across the ocean.
Както има лодка, която плува през океана.
But as soon as you get on the boat, the ocean shrank.
Но веднага, щом се качите на лодката, този океан се смалява.
That means the boat doesn't have to set sail away from the port. You understand? Normally, when you go on a ship, on a cruise, the ship leaves the port and goes to sea.
Когато човек се качи на кораб, той отплува от пристанището в морето.
But if the ocean shrinks down to vatsapadam, the amount of water in the hoofprint of a calf,
океана се смали до размера на отпечатъка,
the ship can stay in the port and still, and it can be at the port of both sides of the ocean simultaneously.
Кораба може да, или лодката може да остане на пристанището и едновременно да бъде на двата бряга.
Everybody understand?
Okay,
just like you want to sail from, let's say, from you know, from well, London, well, from Bombay to Prabhupada sailed from Calcutta to New York City on the Jaladuta.
Да кажем, както ако искате да преплувате както Прабхупада от Калкута до Бостън на кораба Jaladuta.
So he got on the Jaladuta in Calcutta.
Той се качил на Jaladuta в Калкута.
He sailed around the south of India over to the Suez Canal.
И преплувал като минал през на юг от Индия през Суецкия канал.
Through the Mediterranean Sea around the Cape of Gibraltar, then out across the Atlantic Ocean. But if those oceans had shrunk down to Vatsapadam, then the Jaladuka could be situated simultaneously. That means that that New York and Calcutta would become not far from each other.
Това значи, че разстоянието между Ню Йорк и Калкута ще стане толкова и джалдото ще е на двете места.
And all you have to do is just get on the ship and you can cross.
И всичко, което трябва да правите, е просто да скачите на кораба и вече сте пресекли.
But it's a mystical thing.
Но това е нещо мистично.
As long as you remain off the ship, it still becomes a it's still an insurmountable ocean.
Но това е нещо мистично. Щом слезете от кораба, изведнъж се оказвате в огромния океан.
But whoever gets on the ship, it becomes reduced to insignificant.
Но този, който се качи на кораба, то се смалява до
незначително. For those who don't take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet,
за тези, които не приемат под слънцето светлина на Кришна,
this material world is an insurmountable ocean of birth, death, old age and disease.
Този материален свят е непреодолим океан от раждане, болести, старост и смърт.
In spite of all their scientific advancement,
въпреки целият им научен напредък,
their atomic weapons,
атомните им оръжия,
all the things their whole society has come up with,
или всички неща, които обществото е създало,
they cannot fight against this material nature. They're defeated by it.
Те не могат да се сражават с материалната природа. Те са побеждавани от нея.
But one who gets on the ship of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet,
този, който се качи на кораба на лотосовите нозе на Кришна,
they immediately conquer over birth.
Те веднага побеждават
раждането. They immediately conquer over death.
Незабавно побеждават смъртта.
They immediately conquer over old age.
Побеждават веднага старостта.
And they immediately conquer over disease.
И същото с болест.
An ordinary teacher, when they get sick, they won't go to give the classes. You see.
Един обикновен учител, ако се разболее, той ще отсъства от клас.
But a Krishna conscious teacher can give classes even when he's sick.
Но един Кришна осъзнат учител може да дава лекции, когато е дори когато е болен.
It's an example.
Това е един пример.
So by Krishna consciousness, one can conquer over birth, death, old age, and disease.
Така посредством Кришна съзнание човек може да победи раждането, болестите, старостта и
смъртта. We are all meant to become Krishna conscious.
От всички нас се очаква, ние сме предназначени да станем Кришна
съзнание. Human life means Krishna consciousness.
Човешки живот означава Кришна съзнание.
If you are a human being and you're not Krishna conscious,
ако вие сте човешко същество, но не сте Кришна осъзнал,
then you are a human being in name only.
Вие сте само на име човешко същество.
You're not actually a human being. You're not Krishna conscious. And that's confirmed in the next verse here, text
19.
Shvavidvada ushtrakarai sangstutak purushak pushu anyajjata karma pato peito jatu nama gadagrajo. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses, praise those men who do not listen to the pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna, the deliverer from evils.
Хората, подобни на кучета, свине, камили и магарите, възхваляват тези, които никога не слушат за трансценденталните забавления на Бог Шри Кришна, избавителя от всички злини.
So, you have a choice.
Така, вие имате избор.
You have this choice.
Този избор стои пред вас.
Do you want to be a human being?
Искате ли да бъдете човешко същество?
Or you want to be animal?
Или искате да бъдете животно?
99.9999% of the population, they're saying, I want to be animal.
99.999% от населението казват, аз искам да бъда животно.
I want to know, when's it time to eat?
Искам да знам кога е времето за ядене.
Where can I sleep?
Къде мога да спа?
Where are the women?
Къде са жените?
In this way, you see. And if somebody tries to mess with it, then I'm going to fight. I'm going to kill. If you mess with my sense gratification, I'll kill you. That's the mood. Actually, one godbrother told me a story. He was riding on the bus in Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
Той се возил на автобуса в Атланта, Джорджия.
Sitting behind two passengers.
И стоял зад двама пътници.
The passenger in front was telling his friend.
И този пътник отпред казва на приятеля си.
He said, I eat what I kill.
Той казал, аз ям това, което убия.
And I kill what I eat.
И аз убивам това, което ям.
And if I was hungry, I would kill you and eat you. So actually we've seen that it happened in Germany. One man, he wanted to be a cannibal. He wanted to eat a human being. So he posted on the internet that I want to eat a human being. He asked if anybody would like to volunteer to be eaten. And one crazy man volunteered, yes. You can kill me and eat me. And he actually did it. He went to this man's house and he let him kill him and eat him. And he actually, but he was still alive. The man was already cooking part of his body. I won't tell you which part of the body he was cooking. It's not suitable for the Bhagavatam class. But it shows you how degraded people are. How far they have gone away from actually understanding who they are and what is their relationship with God. So we should not be influenced by this material society. We should simply take shelter of Guru and Vaishnavas and make our lives successful and try to help others. That is our Krishna consciousness movement. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Everything is clear. Everyone feels fully, properly situated on the pathway back to home now, no difficulties. Anyone have a question? Yes.
Formerly, the tendency in between devotees was to live very ascetic life, like not care much for the body and the needs of the body. But recently, the tendency is the opposite, that devotees are very much interested in Ayurveda and how to take care of the body nicely, and financially also they are trying to be...
And what?
Financially, they are trying
financially.
To be also nicely situated. So her question is how to balance, what is the proper attitude?
Yeah. One should take material concerns, such as Ayurveda and money, insofar as is necessary to keep one's body fit for rendering devotional service.
Човек трябва да приема такива материални загрижености, както Аюрведа и парите, до толкова доколкото да поддържа тялото годно, за да отдава служеността.
But if one goes overboard and utilizes such things for material sense enjoyment,
но ако човек премина границите и използва тези неща за материално сативно наслаждение,
one's devotional service will be spoiled.
Преданото служене такава личност ще бъде развалено.
And such persons will be obliged to take birth again in this material world. They will not go back to Godhead. In spite of so much devotional service rendered, if they again cultivate material desires, they will take birth again. Even if there is 1% material desire in the heart of a devotee at the time of death, Krishna will facilitate that desire by allowing them to take birth again. So we want to go back to home, back to Godhead. We have to become completely free from all material desires. And another point is this. You can't even be happy now unless you cultivate pure devotional service. Do you know that verse from the Bhagavatam? Ahai tu ki apratiyata yayatma supersediti. Devotional service must be completely free from any material motives. Otherwise, you will not be satisfied. Cultivating pure bhakti. Ahaitaki bhakti. That is the sweetest, most nectarian, enjoyable life you could ever live. If people think there's something unpleasant about pure devotional service, it means they've been influenced by bad association. By devotees, or so-called devotees, who are full of material desires, or by non-devotees. If we want to taste the actual nectar of Krishna consciousness, we cannot allow ourselves to be influenced by non-devotees and by pseudo-devotees who are maintaining all material desires within their hearts. We should allow ourselves only to be influenced by those persons who are completely pure and by those persons who are seriously cultivating complete purity of heart. We should not allow ourselves to be influenced by anyone else. Questions more? Yeah.
You said that one should be 100% pure if you.
Yes,
the time of death, so
absolutely.
And there's this instance that Prabhupada one made this concession that
yes,
that's okay, 90%, and then said 80%.
Yeah, yeah.
And came to
yeah,
70%.
Yeah. But you know what Prabhupada also said? That it's better not to take advantage of concessions.
I'll
tell you why. Someone says, well, Prabhupada gave a concession that even if I'm not completely pure, I can still go back to Godhead.
Някой си мисли, Prabhupada направи тази стъпка, ако не съм напълно чист, ще се върна пак при Бога.
So therefore, I'm just going to take it easy, you know. I'm not going to worry about that 10% of Maya in my heart. I mean, I'm lusty 10% of the time, but that's all right. It's only 10% of the time. You know, there's 24 hours in the day, and, you know, I only get lusty for 2.5 hours a day. So it's okay, you know. Now, as soon as you say, okay, a little bit of Maya is all right. If you give Maya an inch, she'll take everything. Jayato Vishayan Pung Sang Sangat Teshu Pajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kamat Krodo Bijayate Krodat Bhavati Sang Maha Sang Mahat Smiti Vibrama Smiti Brangshad Buddhi Nasho Buddhi Nashad Pranashiti. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. And from such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger arises. From anger, delusion. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, then bloop, one falls down again into the material ocean. You may say, well, if I'm just 70% Krishna conscious, that's enough. So I'll just try for 70% Krishna consciousness. But then what happens if you don't quite make it? You end up 69% Krishna conscious. I don't know about Bulgaria, but in the U.S., when I grew, was a student in the U.S. years ago, 90 to 100 was considered an A. 93 to 100 was an A. And then anything 70 to 70 something was a D, which is barely passing. And a 69 was fail. So why shoot for 70? Even if you fall slightly short of your goal, you will fail. Therefore, shoot for 100%. And even if you get 99% or 98%, it's still considered an excellent grade. And the teacher also can, sometimes I've seen in the exam, if a sincere student is very sincere, I had a teacher one time give me some personal bonus questions that I was able to easily answer that brought my grade up. The teacher can do that for the student. So if you're very sincere and you're trying for complete purity, even if you fall a little short, Krishna can give you some bonus questions that you can easily answer. Like, who is God? So strive for 100% purity, that's the point. Give it everything you've got at every minute for your whole life. If you do that, I guarantee you'll go back to Godhead. And I especially give that guarantee to my disciples, because I am obliged to take birth again if they take birth again. So I really preach this point to my disciples very strongly. I do not want to take birth again. So I have to make sure that every one of my disciples goes back to Godhead. I was very happy recently, one of my first disciples who fell into some difficulty. He has now re-established his connection with me and he is again reviving his Krishna Bhakti. I'm very happy. So are there any more questions?
Има ли още някакви въпроси?
Yeah.
You said that we should not be influenced by others and that
you must be influenced by Vaishnavas, pure Vaishnavas. Yes. And those who are striving to be pure Vaishnavas. Yes. But those who are pseudo-Vaishnavas who are not striving for purity, and those who are non-devotees, you must not be influenced by them. That's right.
Yes. And also the problem with lust, this also comes
from bad association.
From bad association.
You associate with lusties, you become a lusty. Yes.
So, when one feels in his heart dissatisfaction, when one is not satisfied, winning his heart, then he becomes easily
influenced by lust. That's right.
So
looking for some quick pleasure, right?
Yes. So how, if one feels dissatisfied, how to fight with this?
Yes, I'll give you a simple example. Just like, let's say you've made a vow, I'm not going to drink liquor anymore.
Can I translate my?
No more. Yeah, translate it.
Човек не трябва да бъде повлияван, да се влияе от лошо общуване и да се пази от, нали, от поход. Но ако човек се чувства неудовлетворен, той става в сърцето и той става лесна жертва, защото се стреми към бързо удоволствие. И затова въпросът е как да преодолеем това неудовлетворение. И той казваше да даде пример, както ако някой е решил да не пие повече алкохол.
And you're in the desert.
И човек се намира в пустинята.
And there's no water and you're dying of thirst.
И няма вода наоколо и ти умираш от жажда.
But there's, you find a bottle of liquor.
Обаче намираш една бутилка с алкохол.
What will you do?
Какво ще направиш?
Will you drink the liquor?
Ще пиеш ли алкохол?
Thing is, the water is actually there, even in the desert.
Истината е, че водата е има, дори в пустинята.
You just have to drill for it.
Просто трябва човек да копае за нея.
If you drill deep enough in the desert, you will find the water.
Ако човек копае достатъчно дълбоко в пустинята, той ще открие вода.
So the point is, if you're feeling lusty because you're not satisfied with Krishna consciousness.
С други думи, ако човек се чувства похотлив заради това, че не е удовлетворен от Кришна съзнание.
It means you're not going deep enough into Krishna consciousness.
Това означава, че човек не задълбава достатъчно в Кришна съзнание.
You're not really getting to what Krishna consciousness actually is.
Други думи, човек не стига до това, което всъщност е Кришна съзнание.
You have to go deeper into the Namam, the ocean of Krishna's holy names.
Човек трябва да влезе по-дълбоко в.
You have to intensify your japa.
Океана на.
You have to intensify your hearing. You have to intensify your seva. You have to intensify your sangha. You have to intensify your bhakti. More intense, more intense, more intense. If you do that, then you will experience a satisfaction that will make your lusty desires look like the most ridiculous, absurd thing that you could ever have even dreamed to think about.
И ако човек направи това, все повече дълбоко влезе в тези неща, тогава неговите похотливи желания ще изглеждат като най-абсурдното нещо, което някога би могъл да си помисли.
Back to my favorite acharya.
И да се върна към моя любим ачария.
Jamunacharya's statement.
Казването на Ямуначария.
As soon as he thinks about such things, his lips curl and he spits. Because he's getting a higher taste. So if you're not getting the nectar of Krishna consciousness, it's an emergency situation. You have to do something to taste that nectar of Krishna consciousness immediately. You know, call a devotee, call your spiritual master, write a letter, you know, do something. Bow down before Krishna. Pray intensely. The worst thing you can do is give in to a lusty desire. The worst thing you can do. Krishna is Madan Mohan. Madan is Cupid. You know Cupid, the one who shoots the arrows into the heart? Is he? Madan is Cupid. So if you get lusty, that means that Cupid is getting the arrows into your heart. Your heart is full of Cupid arrows and now you just want sex. So what does one do when his heart is being filled up with Cupid's arrows? One has to somehow or other get Cupid to stop shooting the arrows into his heart. You got to get Cupid, divert Cupid away from you to something else. So Krishna is called Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. Cupid is very attracted to shooting arrows into people's hearts. But as soon as Krishna becomes manifest, he loses his attraction to shooting arrows into people's hearts. And he just wants to run after Krishna with love. Bhakti. So all you have to do is beg Krishna to attract Cupid away from you to him. So you simply call upon that particular form of Krishna known as Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. That my dear Krishna, please attract this Kamadev away from me. Please save me from the arrows of Kamadev. Krishna is very kind. If we pray to him to save us from the arrows of Kamadev, then Krishna will do that. And we'll feel so satisfied. Calling out for Krishna is millions and billions times more relishable than any sort of sexual pleasure. So in this way, one can easily become fixed in following the regulated principles and never fall down into illicit sex. So our time has run out. We'll stop here and now we will have darshan upstairs for Shri Shri Radha Damodar. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.